All right, we're going to talk a little bit of just about work in America here, but here's what I'd like to do. If I want you to think of the current job that you have if you are working. If you have left the workforce, think of your last job in terms of the tenure, the amount of years you have currently been where you are, or the amount of years in the job that you recently left. It may have been what we call retirement. It may have been job change, whatever it is. But if you are currently employed or that period of time is 20 years or more, which I'm standing, I've been here 27 years, please stand. 20 years or more, currently or the job you were at. Okay, this is, I can tell right now there's several people that are going to be in the upper echelon of life. 25 years, stay standing. 30 years, I have to sit. These are the lifers, they would call them. 35 years, stay standing. We have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 40 years, remain standing. We now are down to 3 people, or 4 people. 45 years. Mike, nice and loud, tell us what that is. 45 years. He walked out same day that he walked in. 45 years. Bernie, how many years have you owned Hickey Electric? 42. Evie, how many? 41. Who else was in the 40s? Chris Ricketts, teaching. Okay. Now, stop and think about working in America. This is a rarity. You realize that? I mean, it used to be normal that people would work that long in a given profession. But things in America have changed somewhat. It used to be, this used to be part of the American dream, if you will, that you could work 30, 40 years in one place. You walk in one day and you walk out maybe the same day 35, 40 years later. It used to be part of the American dream that you would take home a pension. True? My mom, when she worked at Michigan Bell in Battle Creek, she worked X amount of years. She retired at 62. She lived till 97 and something. She was retired for 35 years after working well over 30 years. She had a pension. She had medical benefits from the company all of her life. That used to be part of the American dream. She received not a gold watch, but she received a number of perks. You used to get things like that. Now you're lucky if you get SIA. True? All of that used to take place. In part, my mom working at the phone company, she had her phone bill paid the rest of her life. 35 years, not a bad deal. See, that used to be part of working in America. Has that changed? Yeah, a lot. I had Tim Reed and I went to a high school luncheon this week and had a great time sitting around with some of the guys, and we were talking about this and about life. Inevitably, we went to how long we've worked, where, and all that stuff. And from high school days to 52 years later, as we compared notes, we said, what was the dream? Now, again, I was in Springfield, which is now part of Battle Creek. The dream then, every boy wanted to work at Kellogg's. That was the job. Why? Great pay, pension, medical benefits, all of that stuff. Okay, I never got a job at Kellogg's. I felt slighted. At least one of the guys did. In the Lansing area, Vermontville, Potterville, even Olivet, Nashville, used to be the dream job, guys, was GM. True? That used to be the dream job. I don't know that we'd call those dream jobs now. Work in our country has radically changed. Now, if you're a younger person, unless you've studied history, you don't even realize what life was like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in this country. How good we as American workers had it. Many companies, it's changed because many companies are no longer owned by American interests. Would you agree? Yeah. The loyalty of companies has changed, but also the loyalty of employees has changed. Employees want to say that the management doesn't care about them. Trust me, in management, that's what they say about the employees. The loyalty used to be a hallmark of the American dream, not so much anymore, because both companies and employees have become increasingly more self-absorbed, self-centered, and selfish. Doesn't mean you are, but as a whole. The dream of working in America has changed because many jobs now are outsourced or relocated from America. True? True. In general, the understanding of work and why we work as Americans has really changed, been pushed aside, or even disregarded. Working used to be a privilege. That's the way it was viewed. I don't know, I can't even tell you that I've met many people in the last 10, 15 years that believe that. A lot of people believe it's owed to you. It's not a privilege where you get up every morning and you go to do your best. Why? To make a difference in our world. Who works with that kind of an attitude anymore? It's increasingly rare. In addition, for many reasons, Americans are changing jobs way more than what they ever used to. I'd say work has radically changed, in part because you and I are like switching jobs so often. And it's the older you are, you're more loyal to a company or working a job steady than what you are if you're in your 20s and 30s. They see work as you work your first 10 to 15 years as a way to position yourself for your life later in life. How do you know this? Because I've read at least 10 to 15 articles on the subject of work in America. The major amount of workers in our country, now I find this hard to believe, but it is statistically proven. The length of service in the average company by a worker is 5 years or less. So all you old people that have been extremely loyal, you're a relic. People bounce around. The average age or the average tenure of an employee, if you're male, it's 4.3 years in a job before you would move on. For a female, it's 4 years or less. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, here's the average number of jobs people in America today have if they're between the age of 18 entering the workforce, and they put the age 52 when you begin to think about repositioning yourself for life. The average number of jobs that you will have, and this is full-time jobs, for males, 12.5. For females, 12.1. Work has changed, right? Work has changed. So for most Americans, there's a process of finding a career. And I'm drawing a distinction between career and a job. Job is for money and benefits. A career is for satisfaction and imparting your life to make our culture different. That's the way I'm looking at it. There's a process that you go through, whether it's for a job or for a career. Most of us get our first experience in the workforce in our early teens. Now, I realize as children you may have some menial job that you would do, but it's not like you get up and you go away to work. You're probably working for a relative. My first job was my mom employed me, picking dandelions. The first real job I had was $1.15 an hour, and I was glad that I got paid that much money. Now, a dollar today is not much. Go back 50 years, 55. A dollar was truly worth something. We start off with part-time jobs, true? Or for a relative. Can you even remember going to get that first job where you had to leave your environment, your family environment, your comfort zone, and go to work for somebody else? Can you remember where that was? Some of us, you know, you've been through so many jobs, it's hard to remember that. As you advance through those teen years, you begin to find jobs that provide more money, more benefits, more hours in some case. It's not even a matter of how much an hour, it's just give me more hours. Do you remember that struggle? I remember having five job offers on the plate, if you will, and I had to decide, was I going to take this job because it had money and it had benefits, or did I want to follow God's leading into what I felt was his nudge towards a career? Many of you have been positioned like that, and you have to make a choice. Usually, the older you get, you begin to get more options. Usually, for most teenagers, their craving and their need for a job comes because of their increased desire to be social, to have a car, or to buy something of worth. They want a gun, they want a computer, parents gonna, or a phone, or to get ready for, usually, college. True? Because unless you're from a special family, nobody's handing you much in life. If you've got a good parent, they make you work. Again, this process ramps up as life picks up for you, as you become more focused. Real jobs begin when you leave high school or college. For most of us, having a real job. And again, you have to get up, you have to get in a car, public transport, whatever, and you have to get to where you need to be. And Corbin laughed about this last week. One of the things that he's going to have to make an adjustment in his life is simply getting up on time, because he's going to be going to school. But hey, have you ever missed a day of work because you slept in? You had a hangover? Whatever it may be. Did any of you ever miss your first day on the job? Anyone? Probably not. That doesn't bode well for you. And if we're honest, in our late teens, in our 20s, in that period of time, all the way through our 20s, most of us are dabbling. Most of us are practicing work. We're learning skills, we're learning knowledge, we're learning what we like. It's the rare person who would sit here and say, like Mr. Krause in sixth grade, I think, Brian, said he knew what he wanted to do with his life. How many of us is that the case? I'm not doing what I thought I would be doing in sixth grade. How about you? Anyone? Some of you might say being a dad, being a mom, but in terms of a paid job, I don't know that most of us are. So this practicing phase, moving from high school, moving from college, getting on with a career or a job, should be a time of developing skills, should be a time of accumulating knowledge, should be a time of correcting your behavior, because you quickly learn that people out there don't really care that much about your wants and your whims. Would you agree? Anybody been in the military? Did they just sit down with you every morning and go, how are you feeling today? Would you like to do these push-ups? Hey, employers aren't much different, okay? We have to learn different attitudes and skills, but also part of this dabbling phase is getting experiences so you learn what you like and what you don't like. There's nothing wrong with that. And part of it, too, is learning to make connections with people. Almost always, you will end up doing something because of somebody, not because it was a great opportunity. You knew somebody and they got your foot where? In the door. How many would say that's the case? Okay, a number of you. This dabbling, this practicing, if you will, should translate into you being a mature worker. Should be exceptionally well-trained. Because if you don't pick up on that stuff, that's what you end up looking like and doing. Okay? You'll end up settling for less than what you had hoped for. And I'm telling you, you almost often will settle for less than what you're capable of if you don't learn those things, skills, relationships, people connections. Countless articles, okay, that I've read this week, many of them, and over the years, from employers, from big business, from job hunters or headhunters, as we would say, say that the average young person, and we're going to say you're 25 and under here, you have a fairy tale view of life. What you think is life and what you think you're going to do and what you think you deserve in life, you're living on a different planet than reality here. Your idea of a job and what you are owed because you grace them with your appearance or with your presence. Get real, they tell you. Quoting, are you ready? We'll see if the workforce here agrees with this. The average person coming into a job, younger person, believes that the company and this country owes them most everything. The people who have written these articles say most grads, high school, college, are poorly prepared. They have a deficiency. That's the number one thing I've read in all these articles, a deficiency. In other words, you lack critical thinking skills, problem-solving skills. You lack social graces. You can grunt and talk on your phone. You cannot carry on a meaningful conversation eye to eye with a superior or a real adult. That will not bode well for you in the workplace. They lack conversational skills and have a pretty poor work ethic. Has anything really changed? That has changed. There used to be a lot of social interaction. There used to be a lot of respect on the part of the younger people moving in, passed down by parents and grandparents who said, you have to work in life. You were not coddled all through life until you tried to begin a life. Times have changed in America. And when you have a workforce every year that is producing this type of people, we're in danger as a country. Because you'll respond to whoever offers you a stimulus check or mails you something and gives you freebies, because that's what you've been trained to accept as normal for 18 to 20 years. Work has changed, but yet the Bible has a high priority on the subject of work. If you're a Christian, your work ethic needs to be different. Your outlook needs to be different. You have to position yourself differently, because the Bible doesn't say just go make the most money and get the most benefits. It says use your life to honor Him and to help others. As Christians, we're to be different in the workforce. The Bible makes it clear that work matters to God. It goes way back to Genesis 1. Can you picture Genesis 1 in the beginning? What? God. God was the first person to work. Do you realize that? In fact, chapter 1 details work. God didn't sit there and wait for a government check. He didn't look around and go, I'm God, somebody else should be doing this. No, God worked, and God called His work what? It was good. Later, when you read Psalm 19, you see that His work reveals Himself to mankind. Does that make sense? The heavens declare His glory. You see, when you go to work, whether you're picking dandelions or you're delivering babies or you're farming, whatever it is, the way you work, your attitude towards work reveals two things. Something about you. You're a selfish, self-absorbed, critical, gossiping, complaining person, or I am a person who believes I have a purpose in life, and that purpose is from God. I am here to make a significant difference in others. I'm to take joy in my work, whether it's super complex or it's the most mundane task. The way you work reveals something about you. And if you're a Christian and you work in the midst of lost people, the way you work, your attitude towards work, reveals a lot about who you say you follow. Are you with me? Work matters. From the beginning, God instituted work. It was a key priority. Before Adam and Eve ever decided to go off the deep end, God sat them down and told them they were to work. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work is a good thing. Work honors God. Work helps people. But more than that, work gives you a sense of accomplishment, a sense of self-worth, a sense of being productive. Work is a good thing. Look at somebody at your table and say, work is a good thing. Even after Adam and Eve fell, God didn't say, okay, you're bad, you don't have to work anymore. No, no, no. Work intensified because of their stupidity. Work is a good thing. It's good for us to work. But we better understand the nature of work. Work is God's expectation for us in life. Now, Jared, come here. No, sit there. Eric, come here. Well, I did. I changed my mind when I saw you smirk at him. Turn around, face everybody. Okay. There. What am I doing to him? I'm rubbing him, and I'm going to rub all of you the wrong way right now. Genesis 3:19. New Living Translation. The rest of the verses today are the New Living Translation. God's expectation is that you and I work all of our lifetime. Pause. Let those words settle. God's expectation is that all of us work throughout our lifetime. Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Did you see the pause there? No pause. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Let me explain this. The elders have come up with this plan for a great retirement center here at the church on our 78 acres. So they were thinking of this advertisement. Can you read that? I told the elders, we'll have to pray about that. The attitude of Americans is that we work until we're tired of working and then we get to retire. That is not a biblical concept. Okay? Pause, let it settle. That is not a biblical concept. That is an American secular concept that has crept into our lives. Oh, who do you think you are? I'm just a pastor telling you what the Bible teaches. That's who I am. Okay? The idea of retirement, that there's a time in your life when you quit working and just put your feet up and suck in everything that's left until you're empty, is not biblical. Can you stop working and use your time and energy elsewhere? You should. This idea that you get to quit and you just, everything you've accumulated in life, you get to splurge, you forget that that's all God's money and possessions. I've never met a retired person that has quit work and say, you know, I've got X amount in my 401k, I've owned this property, I'm going to use this all for God, and my wife and I, we're going to spend the next week praying and fasting and figure out how God can use this to bless others. I've never met one retired person in America with that attitude. It's all about who? You didn't learn that from the Bible. You did not get those values from God. That is our selfish heart speaking, and that's our pagan culture telling us that we have a right to use it because you accumulated it. And you forget that God's the one that gave you breath. He's the one that provided your food. He's the one that has managed to keep you alive. In the midst of your stupidness, He's kept you alive. If you want, my wife is going to end her career in January. Okay, after 42 years, will it be 42 in September? She, and I'm telling you this, she would be wrong to just sit there with her feet up on the couch and not use her wisdom, not use her skills, not use her resources to honor God and bless somebody else. You can change careers all you want. When you use what we call retire, there should be a different way of thinking about this. You're re-enlisting. You're repurposing your life. You're reinventing who you are. Do you see the difference? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now you have to figure out if you're going to live by that. Your life belongs to God. All of your possessions belong to Him. If you want to quit working a job after 30 years, quit working it. Use that time and energy elsewhere. Are you saying I can't do something fun? Are you not listening to me? Smack, smack. You and I need to honor God and help others. How you do that? Knock yourself out. But don't let the pagan culture tell you to squander your life and possessions on you. That's totally not biblical. You and I have three big needs in life: love, purpose, and significance. Figure out what that means to you. Love, purpose, and significance. In our current secular culture, we attempt to use our work, our job, to meet those three needs. Think about it. Is that not true? Love, purpose, significance. How many people do you know they've lost their family because of their pursuit for career and wealth and possessions? How many have lost their morality? How many have lost respect of their friends because of their all-consuming drive to achieve and to accumulate? I said before, research tells us 70-80% of people are not happy with their jobs. So why do you and I dump our life energy into this job without putting that much effort into who God is? Does that make sense? For many of us, our jobs have become a little G-O-D to us. Yes? Solomon is considered the wisest man there ever was. Now, just because he makes mistakes doesn't mean he still didn't have a general sense of wisdom. Here's what he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4 through 11. If you want to turn there, it would be a nice passage for you. And again, I'm going to be reading that from the New Living Translation. Solomon details throughout that book of Ecclesiastes how he looked for love in all the wrong places, how he looked for purpose, how he looked for significance. The man had what we call the Midas touch. Hey, being a king helps with that. He could do pretty much anything he wanted. He could be in, have any career. He could build anything. He could accumulate whatever he wanted. All sorts of projects, tasks, duties were his. He spent most of his life trying to accumulate and become somebody. Same way many of us do. It's a rare person in this room that has ever had this conversation with me or with their spouse. You know, the kids are growing up, and I'm working so much. I'm away from the home so much. I'm losing track of who they are. And honey, generic term, I feel the same about you. I'm going to change my career to invest in you. You know, I work 7 days a week. I can never be engaged in our church. I'm going to find a different career, different job, or scale back so that we can grow together as a family. I can attend some classes. We can be part of a home. You realize how few people think that way? Gimme, gimme, gimme. And someday your kids will be gone, your spouse you won't know, and any opportunity really that you have to grow as a Christian is long in the past because of your job. your pursuit of wealth, significance, land, whatever it may be. Are you tracking? I can't even hardly think of a person that I've had that conversation with. Here's what Solomon says in that chapter 2, starting in verse 4. I also tried to find what? Meaning by building huge homes. Some of you could fall into that category. For who? Myself. And by planting beautiful vineyards. Notice God doesn't stop him and say there's something wrong with a big house and a beautiful home and nice vineyard. God doesn't condemn those things. What he said, I tried to find what? Meaning in these things. Verse 5, I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water, to irrigate land for the poor. Is that what he said? No. My many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also own large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. You with me? It's his pursuit. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. Okay, the dude's got a problem here. Can you see the problem? Me, 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 and you can see where this is leading. I had everything a man could. Well, I'm not like him. Really? That may be because you don't have the position of king, but you might be like him if you had the job and the opportunity. Don't be honest. Don't most of us spend a lot of our awakening thoughts and our thoughts throughout the day and our daydreams and our little dreams as we go to bed at night? Don't we think about us and what we want in life? Verse 9, so I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Needs to look in a mirror at that point. Verse 10, anything I wanted. What's the next few words? I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in what? Hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so, say it, meaningless. It's like chasing the wind, which simply means you never have enough. Goes on. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Have any of you ever thought that? Work and work and work and work and work, and then you sit there one day and you go, why am I doing this? Anybody? My son is a vice president of a company. He's been vice president of numerous companies. He just basically, what do I want to do today? And he'll flop jobs. Vice president of a large firm, had scores of people reporting to him. And all of a sudden it dawned on him, my daughter's growing up. My son's growing up. My wife works as much as I do. I don't even know who they are, let alone who. He took that career, set it aside, and said, I am going to be here with only a few people. With a company that has a policy of saying, do you need to go spend time with your wife or your kids this week? Your kid's got a doctor appointment. Would you like to take them? He realized, like Solomon, all of this doesn't matter if you lose it all or if you have no joy in the rest. So he put his career at a level that did not control his life, did not manage his life, but watch this, it allowed him to have a life. At the end of his life, Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 12. If you want to turn there, if you've got your Bibles, verse 13 and 14. He woke up. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God. What really matters in life? Fear God and obey his commands. Not the boss's command, not the union's command. God's commands. For this is everyone's duty. Verse 14, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Simply means this, God knows your heart and he knows your mind. He knows what you really think. As we're talking about work, he really knows your values towards work. He knows what's important to you. He knows, now get this, the way you have rationalized your life regarding work. God knows it all. So what can we learn from this when you go home? I'm sitting at my desk this week and I thought, okay, and I talked about this with Lisa as we were preparing the service. I said, you know, I want you all to learn something to get something out of this idea of work. Work is good, but work can become your God unless you manage your work. Because let me tell you this, your boss, your company doesn't really care about you. If they did, they wouldn't work you 50, 60 hours a week and tell you to work every Sunday. They wouldn't care. They don't really care that much about it, because if you drop dead today, are they going to hire somebody else tomorrow? What happens to your family? Do they care? Be honest. Do they really care? A few. Very few. You have to manage your life. You have to manage your work. And ultimately, you have to honor God and help others with that job and or career. So here's my seven questions that I had to deal with myself before they get dumped onto you today. You have to think about things differently. Now, some of us, we're in between a rock and a hard place with our job, right? Some of you, you're working your 60 hours a week because this is the only way you can provide food for your family and pay your bills. Have you ever sat down and really prayed about that? Again, it's a rare person that would ever do that. Say, Father, you know I'm working 60 hours. I feel I'm losing my family, and I feel like I can't grow in my faith. Lord, what would you have me do? That'd be a great prayer for some of you. But generally, we just accept it, and we rationalize that that's what's needed to pay our bills, and we've never talked to God. Here's some questions for you to mull over and some great scripture passages. Number one, do you understand and agree with God's purpose for work? Your purpose for work. Honor him, help others, and give you a sense of self-worth and care for your own needs. Do you agree with that? Some people don't. But you need to really think about that and talk about that as a family and be ready to pass on a good work ethic to your kids. Here's a second question. Has work become a little idol? A little idol in your life? Rivaling your affection for God, family, and others. I admit there's been times in my life where I was consumed with work. I love work. I wish I could work more. I always said, give me a 30-hour day. No, God, give me a 40-hour day. I love to work. But the problem with that attitude, you become a workaholic. You could, if that's what you're... If you're not having the right perspective, that work is about honoring him and helping others and finding a sense of significance in meeting needs. Why do you need to work so much, Don?
Well, because I really like it.
Why do you like it, Don? Because then I don't have to be home with people. I don't have to deal, you know, we all have that rationale. So ask yourself periodically, look at your spouse and say, are you feeling neglected? Are the kids feeling neglected? Do we have enough time for our family and friends in church? Or has work kind of become our little God? Third thing, this is huge in America because America is becoming a very greedy culture. It's all about me. Are you grateful for your opportunities to work? Seemingly, according to statistics, we're not. Are you really grateful for the chance that you have to work in our country? Now, tell me, have you noticed more help wanted signs than ever? Why is that? I don't know. But if you really want to work, are there jobs? Now, here's what people say. Well, you know, I can make more on unemployment. Oh, in other words, you can continue to mooch off me. There's all kinds of things that we could do if we want to work and honor God, help others, and find our significance and meet our needs. True? They're out there. Here's another thought for you. Have you cultivated a work ethic that honors God and helps people? I keep talking about that. That's really why we're alive. Honor God, help others. It's not just about you. Notice I said just about you. You're third on the list, biblically. Great passages there for you to read. These great devotions for you and your family to teach work ethic or to rethink your work ethic. Have you got a work ethic that where you say, this is why I get up and this is why I go to the office, this is why I go to the shop, this is why I do what I do. It's number one to what? And number two to? And then ultimately it is to help my family in our needs. But keep it in that order. Another question. Is there some aspect of your work that needs to change? Yeah, let me tell you, it needs to change. That's not just what I'm talking about here. Some aspect of work that needs to change in order to increase your effectiveness. Be honest. And usually that change is you. And it's generally where? In two spots. But sometimes we just haven't thought about this. Yeah, you know, we're in a rut here in our company. We're in a rut in our house. We're in a rut in the business. Maybe you just need to talk with some people and read something that might help you find the answer to becoming more productive, more prosperous, and happier. Another thought for you. Aren't you glad that I spend time during the week thinking? Can you truthfully say you work as a form of worship and witness? Can you truthfully say you work as a form of worship and witness? Do you realize for you as a Christian, work should be the same thing as worship? Because you're honoring God and you're what? Do you view your job, your career, as worship? Anyone? You should. But it's also a witness, because the way you work, whether you're a lazy butt or a hard worker, whether you have integrity or you're a little sneak butt, the way you work is a witness of your God to others. Do you realize how this would change our workforce if Christians would simply work with the right attitude? You go there and you're grateful to God for the chance you've got. Everything you do it for His glory, to the best of your ability. Notice I didn't say perfection. And you do it in such a way, knowing that other employees can be either inspired to follow your God or turned off from your God by your work example. Not even your words half the time. It's the way you work. Do you worship? Is your job a place where you worship? You honor God. Is it a place where you witness by your work style? Bet you didn't think on that thought this week, did you? Here's another one. Last one. How are you using your work? How are you using your work to accomplish God's purpose for your life? And that would imply you'd have to know God's purpose for your life. Well, let me help you out with that one there, bucko. Your purpose in life is to be a disciple who makes disciples. So how are you using your work, your opportunity to go somewhere, 9 to 5, whatever your hours are, to accomplish that purpose, to be a disciple who makes disciples? Or have we fallen into a rut? The reason you get up on Monday morning and you slug off to the place you're going is to get a paycheck. Is that what work has become for us? That's what I've been thinking about this week. How about you? Father, for all of us, we're all in your workforce, whether we have a current job or not, we're all in your workforce. We want to honor you and represent you well. We want to bless you and bless others and find meaning and purpose in all the things that we do. So, Lord, may we really think this week about work and the opportunities as Americans to have so much and have so many opportunities to provide for others. And if we need to make a few changes, let us do so. If you need to pat us on the back or the butt and tell us we've been doing a good job, may you do that also. But don't let us be the same people tomorrow that we were on Friday. Let us just be a tad bit different, tad bit more passionate, a little bit more energetic, a little bit more honest and helpful. So that when people look at us, they see a little bit of your son Jesus, who worked for 30 years as a carpenter. Let us be more like him and less like us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing, God, you're so good.